Okay, so before we start, there are let's look at the structure of the tutorial. Like every notebook has two versions. One is exercise, and the other one is lecture. So exercise is a more hands-on version. It's like you have to write code in the exercise one, and if you are tired, and so like basically if you are feeling like this, so you know you can just go through the lecture with me, and if you are in mood, so you know you can go through the exercise notebooks and actually write code. So okay, is everyone set up? Any issues? Okay, so let's start network analysis with Python. So first question, what are networks? What is a graph? So like, okay, so some issues with the okay, yeah. So a graph or a network is basically a way to symbolize linked data. So like the red dots there are nodes or vertices, and the lines joining them are known as edges or, you know, like links or anything like that. So what are some examples that we can think of, like any real world network data, anyone? Yep, train station and the connections between them. Any other example? Yep, Facebook, Twitter, these are like social networks. Sorry? Yes, World Wide Web. So like these are a bunch of interesting examples. The first one is a transportation network. It's like if there is a flight between two airports, there is a link there. The second one is, I think it's like over the trade counters, derivative market, some financial thing. And it's like, it's a network of that. And the third one is the Facebook's worldwide social network. Like it's a connections between all the friends on Facebook. So in this tutorial, first we'll go through Network X. It's a Python package to, you know, do network analysis and model network data. Like a very quick intro to NetworkX and, you know, like the API of NetworkX. And then we look at three real world data sets, the and, you know, like three real world applications of network analysis. So like one of them is epidemics and, you know, like spreading of diseases and, like, you know, how people die. And speaking of death, then we'll talk about Game of Thrones and, you know, like do a network analysis of Game of Thrones. And the third one is US airport data set. So like we'll try to figure out what's happening there. So okay, let's start with like an introduction to NetworkX and graphs. Okay, so everyone has opened the first notebook, introduction one. If you want to code, you should open introduction notebook. So, you know, like it's like pretty trivial API. It's like you how to create a graph. It's like GNX graph, and like import network X as NX is the usual way of importing it, and so like and add node will add a node to this graph object, and there are multiple types of graph objects. There is graph, the standard basic one. Then there is digraph, multi digraph, and multi graph. So digraph is directed graph. Any examples of a directed real world graph? Anyone? So okay, so what's the difference between a directed graph and a graph? Does anyone know that? Yes, so like if there is a connection between A to B in an undirected graph, that means there is a connection between B to A too, but that's not the case with a directed graph. So any examples of a directed graph? Oh, a real world example. Sorry? Yes, control flow. Control flow diagrams and Twitter, because if I follow Jennifer Lawrence, he doesn't follow me back. And we know that. So just, you know, type. Yes, sir. Sorry? Network X allows that, but the definition, it depends upon, like, it depends on the user. If you want to have a simple graph shouldn't have loops, but Network X allows that. So, like, there are different ways to add nodes, like you can use add node and add nodes from, and how to access node, g.nodes. And people who are using NetworkX 2.0 will see node view, and people who are using, if you do pip install NetworkX, it will right now it will install the version 1.11, and like that's okay, but this is the new one. So we have views now instead of like, you know, basic list and dictionary representation. So, and like we have a lot of generators in NetworkX. It's like a path graph is like, it will give you a path between, it will map a path between 0, 1, 2, and 3. So there's an edge between 0 to 1, 1 to 2, and like so on. And then, and one of the good things about nodes in NetworkX is it can be anything. It can be any hashable object. You can have integers, you can have strings, you can have tuples, you can even have another graph object as a node in graphs. So like if we do g.addNodeH, it will add the node graph H as a node. So like if you'll see like there's a graph object in nodes now. So let's look at the second part of a network, edges. So like as nodes, pretty trivial, it's just add edge and, you know, like that's how it works. And you'll get an edge view if you do g.edges. And then, you know, how to calculate the number of nodes. So like there are different ways of doing that. There is an inbuilt method. You can calculate the length of the graph, or you can, you know, like calculate the length of the list that returns with g.nodes and g.edges. And like just like you can add nodes, you can remove nodes from the graph. So like, you know, little trivial stuff. So okay, so let's, you know, like start with something. So LDOS Reni graph is basically a random graph model generator. And like if you do like basically the first argument is the number of nodes you want. The second argument is the probability of having a edge for every node with another node. So it's like if you have a probability of 0.3 in 10 nodes, this is what the random graph, the LDOS Reni graph generator will give you out. So and like if we change the probability to like 0.1, you'll have a more sparse graph. And if you like make it 1, you'll have a complete graph. This is known as a complete graph, that is like all nodes are connected to each other. And this is one of the ways to visualize the graph, the most obvious one to, you know, like actually show how it looks like. And the other one is to use matrices to visualize a graph. So in this graph, the white spots show if there is a edge between node 0 and like zero, and there is no edge between 0 and 0 because there are no self loops in this graph right now. So if there is an edge between like 1 and 2, then it's white. Like, so let's change our graph. Let's make it 0 point. So like you'll see the representation changes. And the interesting part of network analysis comes in when you can add weights and attributes to the edges and networks. So NetworkX lets you do that too. Like, you know, You can just pass in a parameter as weight and, you know, like whatever you want to. And to access nodes with the attributes, we need to pass in the argument data is equal to true. And like g.nodes will just give you the nodes, and g.nodes data true will give you the attribute too. Like we have added time in this previous cell. And network stores graphs in a dictionary underneath, so there are ways to access those graph dictionaries too. And like it's basically a dictionary, how you operate on a dictionary. So a quick warm-up exercise. So we have created this graph and we have added a list of we have added edges from this list, which is basically like, you know, the starting edge, the ending, the starting point, the ending point, and like suppose like the price of a ticket between those two cities. So the exercise is to find the edge with the highest weight. A quick warm up exercise. Let me know if anyone's done and tell me the answer too. Anyone? Yep. So like there are a lot of ways to solve this, and like one of the ways that I am using is, wait, is this? Like this is like one of the ways you can do it. It's there are a lot of ways to do it. Any issues with the piece of code here? If you do g dot edges dot, it will return you a edge view, edge data view of tuples of the first node, the second node, and the attribute dictionary. And if you'll pass just g dot edges, you'll get only the edges, not the attributes of the.
So you can use edges data instead of edges,
so
to give
the
measure and then use the
max function.
Yeah, you
can, yeah. Yes.
Key function to get
the, yes. There are a lot of ways to do that. You can do that too. So like this was like, you know, like super basic nodes, edges, and network X. So okay, let's start to understand some dynamics of a network. So let's again create a random graph and let's draw it out. So so when we have a network, we need to which of these nodes do you think is an important node in a network? It's like if I remove that node, it could break the structural integrity of the network. Which node do you think is that? Like, how did you come to that answer? Okay, yes. And any more guesses? Like one of the most naive way of figuring it out is, you know, like just calculating the neighbors of a node, and basically that is called a degree of a node. And higher the number of neighbors, like you can say that more more influential the node is in the network. And as he pointed out, if we took out 7 in this network, it would break the network. And like there are different ways of approaching this problem, how to find the most important node in a network. And there is no right way to do that. So that way is called betweenness centrality that we'll see in some time. And let's first talk about degree centrality. So degree centrality is just a fancy name for of normalized degree of a node. It's like you calculate the degree of the node and divide it by the total number of nodes it can connect to, and that will be n minus 1, where n is the number of nodes in a network. So okay, let's calculate the degree of this network, degree centrality of this network, and like, you know, list the top, not the top five, the first five. And okay, so that's there. And like, and there are a lot of other methods like betweenness centrality, flow centrality, and page rank. So we'll have a look at them. So okay, so this is our first data set, and this is the collaboration network of general relativity group on the archive. It's like if two people have published a paper together, then they have a edge between them, and where nodes are the authors. So, and like if 4 people have published a paper together, there will be a complete graph between those 4 in the larger graph. So let's import that. And let's check out the number of nodes and number of edges in this network. So there are like 5,200 authors in this network, and around 14,500 links between them. So let's see what we can do with this. And like again, like there are a lot of ways in NetworkX to, you know, like figure out what is the degree of a network, or like one of them is to like just do like the graph object and call the function degree on it and pass in the node. And like I've just randomly chose 22504. It's an author in this network, and like it is connected to 33 other authors. And like, and so let's do other short exercise then. So in this exercise, we have to create a list of node and degree of node, like two tuples, and find the node with maximum degree. Let me know the answer if anyone's done. It's one of the reasons for that is NetworkX is written in pure Python, so it's pretty slow, and it's more of a prototyping tool than, you know, like working with large data sets. if you really want to work on large data sets, you know, like move away from Network X, or you know, use something like iGraph or you know, Graph Tool, because they're the core of iGraph and Graph Tool is written in C++, so it's way faster than Network X. So I didn't get your question. Gephi. Gephi is the best software for, you know, graph visualization, according to me. Because like network and the like the NX.draw tool that we saw here, it was never meant to be a visualization tool. It was just to, you know, like have a look at the graph. That's all. If you want like, you know, pretty visualizations, there are better tools out there. Like you can use D3JS or you know, like Gephi, and like Gephi is a standalone application. Anyone found the highest degree? Let's check. Yes. I mean, so. And we have an inbuilt method called degree, and you know, let's just check it out, and yes, that's the right answer. So, and let's have a look at the degree centrality of author's graph. So, and degree centrality returns a dictionary where the key is the node and the value is the degree centrality of that node. So, let's go to another exercise now. And in this, we have to plot degree centrality of author graph. Like you have to plot a histogram of degree centrality. Oops. So you should end up with something like this. And as you can see, it has a very heavy tail distribution. And so let's take a detour and let's go back to Eldos-Reni graph. And let's plot the degree centrality of Eldos-Reni graph. And let's know. Well, this is a very different graph than what we got from our archive graph. And as you can see, it peaks at around 0.30. And we passed in the probability as 0.3. Can someone explain me why this happened? The probability of creating an edge between a node and every other node is 0.3. And the degree centrality peaked at 0.3. And it works for every value, not just 0.3. I can show you that. 0.7. Okay, so as you can see, it follows a normal distribution when it's creating the graph. So you have this, and the problem with Eldos-Reni graph is it cannot model a real world data. When you don't have access to real world data and you want to create a synthetic data set, you need something better than Eldos-Reni. So in 1999, Barabasi and Elbert came out with their Barabasi-Elbert random graph generation model. And when you'll have a look at this, the degree centrality matches, and like if let's plot both of them. So like it's more closer than the Eldor Serenity graph than than the Barabasi Hilbert graph, and then there's this another called power law cluster graph, and it's just a variant of Barabasi Hilbert graph, and it also follows a similar distribution underneath. So let's come back and let's have a look at connected components of a graph. So let's create a random graph again, and in this graph you can see that we have three different components. If I am somewhere in 7 or 8, I cannot go to 1 or 4. So like this helps in when you're planning to make a when you're planning to make a road network. Like if those are cities, like you need to have a way to go from 7 to 6, right? You can't just keep them there. So we have a way to calculate that, and this is the connected components of the author's graph. So as we can see, like we have this one lone wolf here that, you know, who doesn't like to work with anyone else and only publishes alone, maybe something like that. And a lot of people that, you know, just work with each other, or, you know, they don't really collaborate a lot, but majority of them form, like, this is the biggest component of this graph. Like they collaborate with each other. So now let's create subgraphs of this graph, where every graph is a component. So like if you'll see the length of the first graph in this, that's 41558. So graphs is a list of graphs where every graph is a subgraph of our original author's graph, and it's a component. And if we like try to find graphs, the 10th subcomponent. So we have two subcomponents of this graph too. Not exactly components, but we have two cliques here, and cliques are structures that which have complete graphs as their subgraphs. So like if you look, there are 3 nodes on the left and like 6 nodes on the right, where 6 nodes form a complete graph and the 3 nodes form a complete graph. So we can say like maybe you can infer something like those 6 people published a paper together, and a person from that group published a paper together with these 2 people, and maybe something like that. So, and another important application is graph traversal. And let's again, so suppose I have to go from 4 to 6. It's not possible, right? And like finding shortest path in a network is like one of the de facto things that you do when you start network analysis. And like there are algorithms implemented in network S to do that. And like when you pass in a normal graph with like just nodes, it basically uses a BFS to solve that. And if you pass with weights, it will use Dijkstra underneath. And you don't need to worry about that if you don't know that what it is. It's just, it will just give you it and give you out the picture. So let's move on to another exercise. So how many of you have heard about 6 degrees of separation? Can anyone tell me that? Anyone? Yes. So it's like I can reach anyone in this world by just jumping 6 steps of friendship, of a connection. And Eldor's number is a number that is given to co-authors of of LDOS. It's like if you have published a paper with LDOS, you get the number one. If you have published a paper who has published a paper with LDOS, you get the number two, and so on. And that's the same with Bacon number. It's like if you have worked in a movie with Bacon, he's a Hollywood star, then you get the number one. If you have worked with someone who has worked with a person, then you get the number two, and so on. So let's find the 22504 number of this graph, author's graph, and if there is no connection, that means that it's not in the author is not in the bigger subcomponent of author's graph, then you can give it the number minus one, and then plot the histogram of this, and also find the shortest path length. Thank you. So this is one of the ways of doing it. There are probably more and better ways of doing this too. So this is how I did it. And like if you ignore the minus one bar, you can see that this is like peaking at around six. I'm not saying that this will prove that theory, but you know, like maybe this is something interesting. And this is just for like one node in the network. And like if you find the average shortest path from this node, it comes out to be like 5.61, which is less than six. This doesn't prove that theory, but you know, just a thing we can think about. And so Facebook actually tried doing this, and they ran it on their full friendship network. And can anyone guess like what was the degree of that? Like what did they find? No, that they found it's 3.5. So it's like this is their distribution. It's like it's peaking around 3.5. No, it's peaking around like 3.4. And earlier you could be able to see your own degree or like degree of separation too, but I don't know if they have removed it. So like Mark Zuckerberg has like 3.17. So it means that in three steps, Mark Zuckerberg can reach any person on Facebook, like three friendship steps. I had a degree of like 3.94 or something. Let's get back. So now let's talk a little bit about directed graphs. So does anyone know this visualization? Like what does it represent? So basically this is the representation of the PageRank algorithm, which is named after Larry Page, the person who made Google, co-founder of Google. And this is what early version of Google used to index the web. So as you can see, like this fella see here, it only has one incoming connection, but still the importance of this in this network is like pretty high as compared to B, which has a lot of incoming connection. That makes sense because you have like a lot of people are citing B whenever they are talking about anything. So B has a high influence on this network, but C has also a high influence because it is cited by B. So like this is the basic intuition behind PageRank algorithm, and let's have a look at that. So like as we had nx.graph, we have directed for digraph, we have the digraph object, and it's the same thing, but the difference here is if you try to print this dictionary, it will return you an empty dictionary because we didn't add any attributes or weights. But if you try to do G2 to 1, it will give you a key error because there is a connection between 1 to 2, but there is no connection between 2 to 1. So that's it. And if we like to find if it's directed or not, there is G is directed, and that will give you a true. So and when you draw it, so like this is a makeshift implementation in NetworkX that it will just, you know, like create a bold, it won't create arrows, but it'll create a bold line there. And so let's calculate the page rank of this graph. So we can see that two has like the highest one, and if we look at the graph, like we understand why. Because everyone is pointing towards two. And so let's add a new edge. Every time you draw, it will draw randomly, so you know, you'll have different representations every time. So what do you think this will have a effect on the page rank of this graph? It won't affect it a lot because it will just add a new edge to 6 and it will increase the page rank of 6. That's all. But what happens when you add this? When you add an edge from 2 to 8, and you'll see that it increases the page rank of 8 substantially. It's like it's more than 2 right now. So like so this was like very basics of networks and, you know, like how to study the dynamics of networks. And now let's move on to the application of networks. So has anyone seen this picture before? So people who don't watch Game of Thrones just, you know, like treat it as just a fictional data set, that's all. And people who do watch Game of Thrones and are behind Game of Thrones, I've tried my level best to not include any spoilers. And so, you know, I'm sorry if there are. Sorry? I've tried real hard, so, you know, there are no spoilers. So this study was done by a professor at Macalester College and an undergraduate there. And so like this network is from the books, not from the TV series, so, you know, there are significant differences there. So how they have extracted this network is they have read the, like, they haven't read the book, but they have looked at 15 words, and if there are two characters that are mentioned in 15 words, then they have an edge between them. I know this is not the best way of doing it, but it still makes some sense. So let's have a look. Like, you can look at their blog too. It's called like networkofthrones.wordpress.com. And well, they just uploaded season 6 network analysis. So okay, let's start. You should have all this code already. So there are two notebooks, Game of Thrones lectures and Game of Thrones exercise. And lecture one is the easy one, and exercise, you have to write the code. Oh, they have made an internal mapping to all the nicknames. So a lot of manual work was also done there. And thanks to them, I'm doing this. And this is a weighted network. So it's like if there are more than one interaction between two characters, you will have a weight too. Like, so between like Jaime Lannister and Adam Marbrand, there are like 3 interactions. So the weight is 3. And I have the data for like the first 5 books. We have only 5 books. So it's, let's start with the first book and, you know, let's have a look at that. Okay, so let's find the most important character in Game of Thrones. So let's look at Jaime Lannister, because why not? So as you can see, it's like, oh, he has a lot of connections in the first book. Okay, so let's calculate the length of this. 29 connections in the first book. Let's see in fifth book, 10 connections ago. That's surprising. 64 in the fourth book. So maybe he's an important character in the fourth book, but not in the fifth book. And okay, so let's calculate the degree centrality of this. So, and I've chosen the like the top 10 ones, and this is for book one. And yeah, you had a question. And so like in book one, Eddard Stark is a important person here. But we all know what happens there. And like, okay, so Jon Snow is also there. Okay, so like this is the top 10 of book one according to degree centrality. And again, there is no one right measure. It depends what you want to get out of the measure and, you know, what do you want to study about the network. And degree centrality is just one of them. And let's plot a histogram of it. Because, and like, yeah, this follows the real world network phenomena, and in like mathematical terms, it follows the power law distribution. So we are right. So Mr. Albert Barabas, he was right. So like a quick exercise. So in network X, there is only degree centrality, but there is no thing called weighted degree centrality. So let's implement that today. And weighted degree centrality is basically the weighted degree divided by the total degree that it could have, a node could have had. And weighted degree is calculated by adding the degree of all the edges a node is connected to. So let's implement that function. And then we'll see that does adding weights to the degree centrality measure, does it change who is more important in this network? Again, if you're too tired to like write the code out, you can just copy it from the lecture notebook and, you know, try running it. And can everyone please open the airport exercise notebook and just run the first five cells, because it can take like a couple of minutes to load the data set. So it's like, you know, just run till like aircraft 2015 in the airport exercise notebook, and then you can go back to Game of Thrones. Like this is my way of doing it, and if you plot the histogram of weighted degree centrality, it is kind of following the power law, but we can see that it's now a bit different than degree centrality. So I guess maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. Let's see. So let's see if it made any difference. So Eddard Stark, Robert Baratheon, Jon Snow. So it pulled Jon Snow up, so yeah, it's a good measure. And so let's this is just a way to check that normalization is correct. It's correct. So now let's talk about betweenness centrality. And the basic intuition behind betweenness centrality is if you remove that node from the network, you can break apart the network, or you can break apart the bottleneck of the network. So if you want to spread something around in a network, that node is very important because it connects a lot of other components of the network, not necessarily the nodes of the network, but a lot of other components of the network. So a very quick example could be the barbell graph. So thanks to NetworkX, we have that too. So if you look at this network, and So the nodes which are between like the path graph between these two components, like the degree of this node is like 2. It's connected to just two other nodes. But if you break apart any of these nodes, you are going to break apart this network, because these two won't be connected anymore. So if we calculate the betweenness centrality, the betweenness centrality of these nodes will be way higher than the degree centrality of these nodes. Even though the degree of these nodes is like 3 for this, 4 for this, is higher than the degree of this node. And so let's check the betweenness centrality. And again, we get Eddard Stark as the most important character in book 1. And now we have weighted degrees between a centrality. So we need to pass in the parameter weight is equal to the attribute in our network, that is weight. So let's check out that if that make a difference. Yes, it did. So according to weighted between a centrality, Robert Baratheon is the most important node in this network. And so if we remove Robert Baratheon, we are kind of breaking up the network. That doesn't mean that it will definitely break up the network, but it will decrease the connectivity of the network. This is the basic intuition behind betweenness centrality. And so let's actually calculate the page rank of this too. So let's first calculate the unweighted page rank. I know why it's NumPy. So like, by PageRank NumPy, it's a NumPy implementation of PageRank. We can just do PageRank 2. And okay, so like we have tried out 3 methods till now, and 2 of them tell we have that Eddard Stark is the most important character in this network. Maybe it's true. I'm not sure. So and let's check out the weighted PageRank. Eddard Stark again. So. Okay, these are the most used measures to calculate importance. If they are saying that Eddard Stark is the most important character in book 1, so maybe it's true. So let's find if there is a correlation between these techniques. These are 3 different techniques that take into account like 3 very different attributes, like not attribute structure of the network. So let's find if there is a correlation between these techniques. Like a hint, you can use like correlation this function to actually, that's the answer, that's not the hint. So we can use pandas to find the correlation of this network of these 3 measures. So basically, I'm creating a pandas data frame, and where each column is one character, and the first row of each column is the page rank of that character, weighted page rank. The second is betweenness centrality, and the third row is weighted centrality, the one which we implemented. And if you weren't able to implement it, just use nx.degree centrality. That's okay too. Let's do that. So let's take the transpose of this, because there is an inbuilt method to calculate correlation. So this is the correlation matrix of these 3 methods. So what can we infer from this? So they are more or so high. They are related, because like with page rank and degree centrality, there's a correlation of like 0.94, so that's a pretty high correlation. And like there's a less correlation between degree centrality and betweenness centrality, and that example showed us why, the barbell graph. So, and plus a matrix, and like this will be 1 because it's like 0 correlated with 0, and that will be 1. Okay, so till now we have been analyzing the first book. So, but what about the other 4 books too? And so when we add time to a network, it is like the fancy name of adding time is known as adding temporality to the network, and then we call it temporal networks. And then there is this another branch of network analysis called temporal network analysis, and people have written books on it. So we'll just, you know, have a very quick intro to that. So in this, I've created a new list where it is tracking the evolution of weighted degree centrality of each network over the five books. And then we create a data frame, and suppose if the character is not present in some book, then I've used fill NA as zero. And this data frame is pretty self-explanatory. That the columns are characters. We have like 796 characters over five books that these people were able to capture, and five columns are the five books. So apparently, like Aemon Targaryen, the Dragon Knight, was only mentioned in the third book. So we don't have any measures for that in like first, second, or the later books. So in the next, in this bit of pandas magic or trickery or whatever you would like to call it, I selected top 10 characters on the basis of their maximum value in the column. So it's like I'm taking a max. I took a max of the column first, and then took the top 10 out of that. So, and those top 10 are, and this is weighted degree centrality. We have Eddard Stark, Cersei, Jon Snow, and blah, 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 blah. And so let's look at the exercise. Let's look at exercise now. And this one is about plotting the evolution of the weighted degree centrality over the five books of these characters. So some messing around with pandas, and I was able to get this one-liner function. And so like this is the plot of weighted degree centrality and evolution over the 5 books. And like you can pretty much see some obvious trends if you're familiar with Game of Thrones. So it's like in the first book, it's Eddard Stark is like, you know, at the top, and he pretty much, the graph pretty much dies out. And then in the fourth book, Cersei Lannister is like at the top, and okay. And like in the fifth book, Jon Snow is, you know, like he just, you know, it's like he rises from the death to, you know, come at the top. And so this was for weighted degree centrality. And now let's have a look at the same graph, but of between his centrality. And let's see if we find anything interesting or surprising or, you know, anything like that. Okay, so here's the graph. And at the top we see in the fifth book, it's Stannis Baratheon. And it's like, it's a pretty big climb from the third book. Like he's pretty important in the fourth book too, and in the fifth book too. And there's a big difference. But in weighted centrality, in weighted degree centrality, there is no mention of Stannis Baratheon in the top 10. So like, what's the reason for this? In between a centrality, he's like at the top, and in degree centrality, he's like, he's not even in the top 10. So like, just like the barbell graph, apparently if we take out Stannis Baratheon from the network, it will break apart the network, and apparently he's holding a lot of people together. This is not me, this is Python. This is Python saying. That is strange, yes. So let's talk a little bit about community detection in networks. So like the intuition behind this is finding similar nodes in a network. So it's not necessary, like components, like finding the subcomponents, like it's like, it's like absolute community detection. It's like there are communities, you can actually see them. But suppose there is a complete graph, like a complete graph of 10 nodes and a complete graph of like 4 nodes, and you connect them. So you can mark them as like 2 different communities. They're not components because they are connected, but they're 2 different communities. And there are a lot of methods of finding that. And like one of them is Luan community detection. And so we're gonna use that and see like what happens on book 1. So as you can see, like this plot is like, you know, pretty hard to decipher, and there are not a lot of good tools in Python ecosystem to like make it better. So like this picture was the different color reflects different communities in this network. And this picture was made by Giphy, I guess. And like, bigger the font, bigger the influence of the node in this network. And the influence is calculated by PageRank in this. Let's go back. Okay, so communities. So it's basically a different, it's hardly visible, but it's like different colors of gray, I guess. And we have like different communities. So let's actually have a look at different communities. So when we ran the community detection algorithm, it's not actually implemented in NetworkX. I have actually provided you a folder community which has the code, and which is a standard alone package, but it doesn't work with the latest release of NetworkX yet. So if you look, so I've created a dictionary, and if you'll have a look at that, so it's like we have 12 communities in this, and I don't even remember these characters, so I don't know. So let's, So there's this function called nx.subgraph, and it takes in a graph and a bunch of nodes, and it will give you the subgraph of the graph, and where all other nodes are absent, and the edges of those nodes to this network is also absent. So this is like the first component, and like we can have a look at the other components of the graph too. So something like that. So then there's this term called density of the of a network, and it's pretty much finding like if the network is dense, it will have a density which is like towards one, and if it's sparse, it will be like towards zero. So no rocket science there. And so like if you find the density of the first book, like just the first book, it's like 0.039 something. So it's a pretty sparse network. You don't have a lot of connections between nodes. But if we find the density of a community inside the in this network that we got from Luan detection algorithm, then it comes out to be like 0.28. It's like some 7 times more than the density of the original graph. So like this gives out a brief intuition behind that what we did with community detection. And so one more exercise. So find the most important node in the partitions, like by partitions I mean communities in this, according to page rank, degree, centrality, and betweenness centrality of the nodes. The answer should be something like this, like community is the key and the value is the most important node in that community according to page rank or degree centrality or between the centrality. Okay, so like this is my code for it, And again, I'm pretty sure this is not the best code for this, but it works. And so, okay, so let's move on to another application now. And so what should we do first? Let's have a look at airport exercise. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, so the default is 0.85 when you're doing it, but how do we set this parameter? What's the visual from the estimate to try?
Like 0.85 is like the standard parameter that is taken, and to find the good one is you have to test it out yourself, and it depends on the kind of network you have, and it depends on that. And I haven't really tested it a lot, so no, I'm not the best person to answer that, but you know, like. So, like, if you'll open the airport exercise notebook, so in this, the data set is from 5 years, 1995, 2000, 2005, 2010, and 2015. And if you look at the CSV file, there are four columns. The first one is like from airport, the second one is to airport, the third one is, I guess, year, and the fourth one is the carrier of that flight. And so there's a difference between this and a normal airport network, because this is the route network. It's like if there is a flight between New York and San Francisco by Delta Airlines, and that flies on different time on like every day, so it will count it as like, you know, seven different flights. So that is a problem with this data set. You need to solve that, but I haven't done anything. It's just like a raw data set. So let's have a look. So I've created five directed graphs, because a flight from point A to point B doesn't mean that plane will fly back to point B to point A. It can go to point C. So we have five directed graphs for like each year. And so let's have a look. So let's calculate the page rank. Okay, so first thing we want to find out in this network is which is an important airport in this network. If we close down that airport, or if, you know, like some natural disaster happens at the airport, it's like it could shut down the network. Which airport is that? Let's have a look by the tools and, you know, measures we have seen today. So according to PageRank, and this is the weighted, there are no weights, so it doesn't really matter. So, and the top, I have listed the top 10 airports according to PageRank. And like if you're familiar with airport codes, it's like the top ones that are supposed to be are like, you know, like Atlanta or Chicago or New York or something. You would expect something like that. But the first one is ANC. Does anyone know what is ANC? Yes, Anchorage. So Anchorage is this place in Alaska. It's like, it's not even in mainland US. It's like just far away. So why is this the most important network in the node? Most important node in the network, sorry. Any guesses? Why is Anchorage the most important node? It's not a big airport, it's not a big city. Maybe, yes? Yes, but yes, like that is one of the reasons that people give out for this anomaly in the data set. And like, but they don't land there, like they just go over Alaska, so it's yeah.
Other places you can go through a lot of different routes, but if you want to go, and if many airports will have direct flights to Anchorage.
Yeah, that basically adds up to that point, and it will, like, this is what I think the biggest reason is, but there are other things out there also that, you know, people have other problems with this data set too. And so basically there are a lot of regional flights in Alaska that only start from Anchorage, and so basically all those small towns in Alaska are connected to the mainland US only through their flights with Anchorage. So if you break out Anchorage from this network, you're removing all those too. And so this is one of the reasons that, you know, like it gives out a very high PageRank score, and all the major airports have to fly to Alaska, so it adds to the PageRank score of it. As we like saw in that pictorial representation, C had only one incoming edge, but it was from a major player, that is B, and so in that case, like Alaska will have a lot of flights, as you mentioned out, it will have a lot of direct flights that are coming towards Alaska, which will go to Anchorage, and then it is connected to a lot of regional airports. So according to PageRank, this is an important airport in this network, in this data set. So let's calculate the betweenness centrality. Well, because why not? We know how to do it. And degree centrality too. It took some time, but we have the answer. Again, with betweenness centrality, it's Alaska again. So that further proves our point that it is, if you remove Alaska, it will break up the airport network. So that's there. But in degree centrality, it comes out to be like the first one is like, I guess, Atlanta. The second is, I don't know, Chicago O'Hare, and like I think these are like. Mainstream important airports, and because degree centrality is just about the number of connections you have, so like that makes sense, because like Atlanta is one of the busiest airport in the world, so it will have a very high degree centrality when you look at the US domestic sector. So there's this really nice blog post if you are interested why Anchorage is, and you know, like it. The structure of the network is one of the reasons, and there are other reasons too. So again, like in this line, so we have the carrier data. I mean, the data set is like really huge, and I had to like, you know, trim down the data set. So I just chose I just had an option to choosing like one attribute, and I chose carrier. I don't know why, but let's see. So what we are going to do is we are going to plot the graphs of like number of routes of the top five airlines, and let's have a look at that over the years, like so, like, you know, adding the time thing to in this. So like so the most interest, like this is a very broken graph because it's like just like five distinct years. The actual data set is available from 1990 to 2015, so like you have like 25 years of data set, and that gives out a more prettier graph than this. But because of like, you know, data constraints, and we don't have a lot of time to compute it, so I'm dealing with this. So like if you look at this orange line, this is basically Delta Airlines, and you know, like in the past 15 years it has grew a lot with the number of routes, not flights. So that is the important distinction here. And so again, like a bit of pandas to find it's basically to find the hubs of airlines where, like, for which airline which is the most used airport, like for Delta Airlines it comes out to be Atlanta, and I guess MSP is like, I guess it's Mississippi. And if you'll actually check the Wikipedia pages of the hubs, and like it, not all of them matches, but you know, it somewhat matches according to this data set. And if we calculate for United, it's Chicago and Denver and Washington and New York. So yeah, these are the one that should be there. And we are running out of time, so you know, I'll just hurry past these slides. So average shortest path length of the network. So what happened? Okay, so we have an error, that is graph is not weakly connected. So it's weakly connected is a directed graph term, and as this is a directed graph, so if the graph, like if you look at a undirected copy of the graph and it's not connected, by not connected it means there are components in the graph, then that is a problem. And especially in this case, because you don't want like couple of airports lying there which have flights between them, but they're not connected to the to the other components. You can't have this, but like this is there, and this is like the real data set from like Federal Aviation Authority. So what's happening there? Let's see that. So let's have a look at connected components. So if you look at, if we'll go at the very last bit of this. Yes. So basically there are three components. One is the one is the component that the component it should be, the connection, the data set of all airports. Then there are these two components. This is like apparently, so there's this flight which goes from AIK to AIK, it goes to itself. So I wasn't able to solve the mystery of this flight, but I was able to solve the mystery of SPV to SSB. So it's basically it's a Puerto Rican airline, and it's not an airline, it's a seaplane company. So it's like it just flies between these two airports, and that's all. So that is the reason why it's, you know, something like that. And to make matters easier, so let's just remove these nodes. So we have a nice connected graph. And the difference between weakly connected and strongly connected in a directed graph is, if it's strongly connected, it has a node should be reachable from any other node. Like basically they should form a component, but you don't have to go to the undirected copy of it. If you have to go to the undirected copy of it to get every node as reachable, then it's basically a weakly connected graph. So let's find out the average shortest path length. So can anyone tell me what could average shortest path length mean? Like it's right there in the name. Like, can someone explain me that? It basically computes the distance between any between all the pairs of nodes in the network, and finds the shortest path between them, and it will give you the average of it. So it gives out an average of 3.02. So it means that if I pick any airport in the data set A, and like suppose A, and another airport B, there are only I need to travel through only two steps to reach to that airport. Suppose there is no direct flight. I could just go from A, if I have to go from A to B, the average number is A, C, D, B. I should be there. I don't need to take more than three flights. This is the average shortest path length. And like if we'll plot the degree centrality, and again, it follows the power law graph. So like we have till now proved with like, I guess this is the third data set that it does follow. So like the Barabasi-Elbert model is considered to be like a seminal work in network science, and this is why. And so this was actually supposed to be a very nice, interesting exercise, because this is a very open-ended question. It's like one of the nice applications of network science. So so we need to add new flights to this network. But like adding a flight is like, there is a cost involved with it. So how can you add flights in an effective manner, the minimum number of flights in an effective manner, that you decrease the average shortest path length of this network? So how could we do that? So what I did is, I just, you know, like it's a very naive implementation of, there's this thing called preferential attachment, and it's part of the Barabasi-Elbert model. So what it does is finds the node which has the highest degree centrality, and then like, and I've arranged it in a sorted order, and then it finds the node, the next node, like it just iterates through the list and finds if there is a connection between them or not. So it will try to find the next node which next highest node which there is which there is no connection, and it will add a new flight. So it's like I'm trying to connect the highest central airports which are not connected yet. So does that make any difference? So like in this, I think I've added like around 500 edges, and that is like 2% of the current edges. So like 2% of the current flights, I've added new flights, and this is what it gives out, an improvement of like 0.7%. So as we can see, this is not a good way to do that, but it's an open-ended question. Like, if anyone would like to tackle it, it's a nice question. And there are some like linear optimization ways to solve this problem. A lot of people are doing that. And well, I guess everyone is pretty much feeling like this now. So, okay, so that's here. I'll end this. And if you want to go through the diseases notebook too, it's like super simple. It's just some pretty graphs and you know how diseases are spreading. And this can be also used to model like virus spreading on a set of routers, or you know as we are moving towards more IoT things, it's a serious concern to you know not to stop spreading of viruses in IoT devices, and which are not so easy to change or you know to update them. So this is a nice pretty little way to do that. So like these models were made in like 1920s and something, and at that time network science wasn't even there, and now these are now incorporated into network science to make these things. So well, that's it. Thank you.